Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Rich or Miss, episode 30. Hey, Rich or Miss listeners. Wow, episode 30. I'm so excited for that and for the journey we are doing together. And I want to thank you for all your comments and thoughts. Just keep doing that. Just write more and more. I'll be so happy to answer each and every one of you. Today, at our 30th episode, we're starting a new part. And this is a question where I ask my guest about his mountain or his mountaineering experience. The mountain he climbed, the mountain he wishes to climb, the mountain he loves looking at. I guess you ask yourself, what does mountaineering has to do with entrepreneurial success? I invite you to listen to my discussion with today's guest about it. Tomas Lovanavičius is a lifestyle entrepreneur and blogger from Lithuania. He writes about habits, lifestyle design, and entrepreneurship. Right now, he is traveling the world with a mission to empower 1 million people to change their lifestyle for good. Tomas Lovanavičius, it's such a great honor to have you here. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm really very happy to have you here, and I saw things that you wrote, and I really like what you are doing, so we will tell about it to our listeners in a moment. I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now, and I would like you to tell us and to share with us what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
All right. So right now I'm really passionate about lifestyle design, and I'm trying to really empower 1 million people to change their lifestyle for good by providing tools and knowledge. And at the same time, I'm trying to basically experience everything firsthand. So whether it's personal finance, whether it's fitness, health, travel, I want to see and document everything. So basically I give them a unique experience and tools to improve their lives in the best way possible. So that's what I'm really passionate about today. And I'm finishing my book in the next couple of months. And then next year is going to be a big year for just promoting the book and getting people to know more about the lifestyle design.
Wow. What do you mean by lifestyle design?
All right. So lifestyle design is actually a not new term. I think Tim Ferriss talks about it a lot. And then there's this movement, digital nomads. And lifestyle design, my definition of lifestyle design is to actually really consciously design every single part of your life so you don't have to suffer at work, you don't have to suffer at relationships, at your purpose in life, because every single thing you have a choice. For every single thing in your life, you have a choice. And lifestyle design is about crafting that journey that you want to look back and say, wow, that was quite a ride. And that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Wow. I must say that I do know a lot about choosing your way. I am a great believer of that, but not in terms of planning ahead. And that's what you're talking about, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, you cannot really plan everything, but just having a grand vision of your life really helps making decisions. And you know, some decisions are conscious, some are subconscious, and just by having kind of like a North Star in your life helps you to achieve what you want. Otherwise, you need to improvise in your life, and most of the time you don't really get what you want.
It makes sense and sounds very interesting. How did you get there? How did you start to deal with lifestyle design, and what brought you there?
Yeah, it was quite of a journey. I started 10 years ago when I was quite bored of computer games, and I started teaching myself Photoshop and design, and then I got some clients online, and I was really excited about online marketing and blogging, and I started blogging online and getting some freelance design clients, and then I moved to Denmark, I moved to London to do formal education, corporate job, but nothing really fit my kind of lifestyle idea. And then I switched into lifestyle design in the last 2 years. And I started reading more about like self-development and more about philosophy, psychology, and just learning more about entrepreneurship and how I can use all of that to serve more people.
Wow. And there is something else that you're doing, leading entrepreneurs from your country or your area.
Yeah, I'm really trying to activate entrepreneurs from Lithuania and Eastern Europe and other countries in Europe, because at least in my country, entrepreneurship is not very common, and people are more reserved and they need a push. And environment is pretty harsh, actually, if you compare it to the United States or Western Europe. Lithuanians are very judgmental, and if you have an idea and it's not really a unique one, everyone's just going to say that it's not a good idea, you shouldn't do it. Where in, you know, Western world and startup world, people would say, yeah, it's not the best idea, but it's not the idea that counts, is the execution and market fit and right timing. So I'm trying to, at the same time, educate and inform people from my country and my area, but at the same time, I really like to spread the message of the products and companies and services that I believe in. So I'm trying to serve both sides.
Who would you consider as your customers today? You have a lot of followers and fans, but who would you consider as your customers?
Right. So basically, I have two audiences and they don't really mix. So I have B2B audience and I have B2C audience. And if I'm talking about B2B, it's mostly companies that are suffering from the wrong message or wrong language or basically misleading communication in their business. And I'm helping them with the market fit by doing keyword research, by doing the customer journey development, and by trying to create better funnels for them. So that includes email marketing, that includes social media, that includes content marketing. And when it comes to customers, so my other audience is just consumers. So I'm trying to empower other creators and aspiring entrepreneurs to find, you know, the right customer, to find the right idea, and to find the business that they're going to be focused on for at least, you know, the next decade or two. And not chase another shiny startup idea and try to raise a lot of funds and then, you know, burn everything and then start over again. So I'm trying to provide tools and knowledge and experience for them so they can start a lifestyle business and they believe in that business and they can spend a lot of time in it. And they don't necessarily have to make, you know, millions and millions of dollars, but they need to be aligned with where they're going, what they believe in, and at the same time serve the people that they care about.
I love that. And I want you to tell us about your concept or beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customers. And you are actually, that's one of the things that you are doing. So I think it will be especially interesting. And give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus.
Yeah, this one is really tricky because for every single business, it's a different strategy.
And oh, I love you saying that. That's right. I love you saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can take the same approach, which is do not take classic way of just, you know, spending ads on Facebook or Google or whatever. First, go to places where people are actually hanging on. So there are already tribes online. They're on Reddit. They're on Slack. They're on Facebook groups. You can go to LinkedIn groups. There is Quora. There is a lot of questions asked every single day on Quora. These are your potential customers. These are people who are already asking these questions that you can answer and that you can provide a solution to. So I think first you need to do a lot of kind of like underground scouting of the area and trying to connect with these existing people having real problems that you can solve. And once you have conversations with these people, you're going to see that, okay, maybe your assumption was wrong. Maybe your approach was wrong. Maybe your product has too many features, or some of the features are misleading, or some of the features are not necessary. So I think just first by doing this kind of really dirty manual work and trying to connect with, you know, as many customers one-on-one as possible, then you have a lot of real data that you can work with and act on. And then later on, you can develop strategies. Maybe you need to spend money on LinkedIn instead of Facebook because this is where your business customers are, or you need to spend money on Instagram because this is where your, let's say, teenager demographics hang out, and so on. So I would say that this is one of the best ways that worked for me, developing content strategies for businesses and basically doing the research for my own blog posts. That go really well.
Yeah, it is. I must say that I do agree. It's quite hard, not to say impossible, to try and have a message and try attract people and tell them about something that perhaps not exists yet. Perhaps they don't really understand the need yet, their own need. So doing that through advertisement at first is a very, very challenging goal.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, people make a lot of assumptions and they just work on a website or a landing page or a product for a year expecting it to be the right one. And then, you know, they waste a lot of time, they waste resources and money, and then they let it out to the public and no one cares. So I think this is the biggest pain that all the entrepreneurs have. And you can easily avoid that by just talking to a couple of your customers. And you don't have to be very salesy. You just say, what problems do you have, let's say, with health or fitness or content marketing or whatever, and just have a human conversation with them, not really trying to sell anything. And then once you connect with them and you get really honest feedback from them, you can start developing or redeveloping your idea and your product. And then once you have the right fit for at least, you know, 10, 15 people, then you can start scaling up the advertisements and testing it with thousands of people to see if anyone is actually converting.
Wow. You've got a lot of successes. I already say when I just met you that you are quite very young and did so much. But I'm sure you've got failures as well. And I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most?
Yeah, I have a lot of these stories, but probably the most humiliating was the web design freelance course that I did 2 years ago. So I did all the research, yeah, you know, using the strategies that I was just talking to you. And I didn't really talk with real people. I just did research on Quora and LinkedIn, and I saw what people are asking about learning web design and starting their freelance journey. And I was basically trying to answer all of these questions on my video course by just recording my screen and then showing how to create a website in Photoshop, how to approach clients, how to pitch them. And I realized once I finished everything and basically launched the course that I realized that people were not in the right mindset to spend money for premium courses because they have never first they have never spent money on course. Second, they were not seeing freelancing as an opportunity because it was so foreign for them because they never done it. And third, they didn't have previous experience of investing into education and getting a positive return on investment. So I think these three mistakes that I did resulted in very little sales. And after that course, I realized that, okay, if I really want to sell my product to people first, these people have to be buyers. So how do you qualify buyers? You can do a free course for a week or just, you know, make a free webinar or whatever, and then offer them an entry level product that can be just $1, $7, $10, whatever, something really easy to buy and very little, very low price tag. So you qualify these people as buyers, and only then you can start pitching premium products that cost $50. $100, $200, $300, and so on. But before you qualify people as buyers, you're not going to sell a high-end product to them because they don't trust you, they don't see the value, and maybe the relevancy or timing is not right. So I think this is the biggest failure that I had with choosing customers and trying to sell them something.
Wow. It's a beautiful story, and thank you for sharing that. Now I want to ask you about successes. What is your biggest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something that you did right about approaching your customers?
It actually happened completely accidentally. So before, when I was blogging, I was mostly focusing on, okay, I think this is trending. This is very popular. A lot of people are talking about it. I'm going to do a post or a story on a guest blog or my own blog, and I'm going to, you know, share some stuff about it. And most of the time I would use internet to basically research similar content and then basically recycle everything. And there are so many pieces online that are just recycled content, and no one really engages with recycled content anymore. So what I discovered 2 years ago was I wrote a post about powerful habits that I stole from ultra successful people. It was 12 powerful habits that I have stolen from ultra successful people. So basically,
okay,
I wrote a post how I engineered my own day by stealing habits from Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, and all the greats of our times, and how I applied everything into my lifestyle to basically engineer a perfect morning and perfect day. And that post just went...
It's beautiful. Beautiful idea. Wow.
And that post just went completely viral. You know, like Time reached out and they republished the post, and New York Observer reached out and they said, we want to republish this. And it resonated with people so much because it was not recycled content, because it was completely honest. My take, you know, like I didn't say this is what I came up with. I said I have stolen these habits from these people because I really believe in their missions, their visions and their lives. So I did this post, and then half a year later, an agent reached out and offered to write a book about it. So right now I'm finishing the book. So I think that was one of the biggest successes that actually happened completely accidentally. I didn't plan for it.
Wow. I must say that I want to read this article, and I want to ask you to put the link in our show notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like an article that every one of us entrepreneurs really want to read. It sounds great. Was there a moment? Actually, I'm stealing this question because one of the last interviewees, who is a fantastic lady named Nicole Holland, talked about the point where she stopped chasing after customers and started to attract them. And I want to ask you if you have an example or a story about reaching this moment.
Yeah, right now I'm actually in a position of choosing clients or whatever customers I want to work with, because I've been blogging for the last 10 years. So all the work accumulated quite a lot of work examples that people discover, you know, organically, naturally. And there's also word of mouth, and I am affiliate on some websites as well. So I get quite a lot of pitches every day. And just this, you know, like years and years of work allows me to choose clients that I want to work with. And right now I'm happy to say that I can choose clients that align with my own values, and I can choose clients that I believe in their strategies and in their visions and their missions that they're doing. And I feel very lucky for this.
You are very lucky for that. And it's great to hear. I want to ask you, if you look back a few years and to where you are today, what you have achieved until now, was that the plan you had as lifestyle design? Did you design this plan?
All right. I wouldn't say that I knew where I was going. I knew that I want to have freedom, autonomy, and to really help people at the same time. But I didn't know what's going to be. I still don't know what's going to end up, you know, at the end of my story. But I feel that I'm on the right track, because there are days where I don't feel like working, or there are days where I'm really suffering by trying to write the right idea that I want to express. And I believe that the feedback that I get from people and all the results my clients and customers get, I think it just proves that I'm on the right track. But I wouldn't say that I planned all of this. I was just saying that, yeah, I want to move my own direction. I want to build my own legacy and leave something bigger after me.
Thank you. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, or sales? Because there are so many. And we are trying to find out about the best tools that the successful people really use.
Oh, wow. I think that you need different tools at very different stages in your entrepreneurial journey. So if you're just starting out, don't think about any tool. Don't even check, you know, like top 10 tools you need to use in your marketing, whatever. Just reach out to people via email, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your, you know, wherever your target customers are. And just engage in a conversation. Just have a very friendly human conversation about their, you know, their dreams, their struggles, their problems, their challenges in their life, their business, whatever. And just try to understand the bigger picture, because there's not always like a quick fix that can fix everything. If people want a raise in a job, it's not because they want more money. Maybe they want to buy a car, but they don't want to buy a car because they want to look fancy. They want to look fancy because they want to be accepted. And if they want to be accepted, it means they're lonely, or they don't have enough friends or whatever. So there's always a deeper problem that you need to kind of dig deep to see it. And it doesn't come that easily. So you need to start talking with different people. And that happens just, you know, like sending an email, sending a message, and leaving a comment, and maybe scheduling a Skype conversation online, and just seeing what their people are like, what they're living, what they're wishing for, what they're fearing of. And once you have this knowledge, this kind of like bigger picture in your head, then you can start addressing certain problems or certain obstacles and addressing certain challenges that you can help people fix. So that's probably for just no tool for the very beginning. Obviously, email and social media is still a tool. So I think this is very good for just entry-level entrepreneurs. But later on, you should probably look into what fits your business best. So you know, some people use Salesforce, some people use HubSpot, some people use other CRMs, but you need to decide what your system or process looks like, and then address every single basically challenge or problem you have in your business with specific software out there. So I wouldn't say that there is one size fits all, but you should spend some conscious time on choosing the right tool for your business.
And is there any service provider, like mentor, consultant, or even a book, that had a major impact of your customer success and can help others as well?
Oh yeah, I think my real personal growth started when I read How to Win Friends and Influence People. So I think one of the biggest messages that stuck from that book for me is that you can make more friends in 2 months by being interested in other people than you can make in 2 years by trying to convince people that you're interesting or something like that. So I think I really believe in this idea that just by getting interested in other people and honestly trying to understand, you know, the battles that they're fighting, the demons that they have, and trying to really empathize with them and provide help, I think that is the key to customer development, and not only customer development, also in relationships in your personal life.
I love it. And I want to ask you, there are a lot of things that really influence our successes. However, I want to ask you, there is always one thing that is most meaningful or affects the most. What is the one factor that really affects your success? What is your key success factor?
So right now, I think it's delayed gratification. So I have quite a lot of tolerance for, you know, missing the party, not going to an event and reading a book, taking a course, or staying longer and writing a blog post, or staying longer and talking with my customers, because I believe that the payoff is going to be worth it. And I think that's the number one thing that pushes me forward and gives me an advantage.
Finally, before we'll say goodbye and before we'll ask you how to contact you, I want to ask you, you know, I'm a great believer of succeeding fast and big in marketing through leading the new market category. It's not always new. It can be a market category that nobody actually took the lead of, and to take ownership of the category. This is probably especially for entrepreneurs, but always the best way and the right way to win the market. And it always reminds me climbing a mountain or conquering new heights. So I want to ask you whether there is a mountain that you really love or want to hike to. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I see mountains. I'm really fascinated by mountains. And, you know, there's absolutely no logic reason why people climb mountains. You get absolutely nothing. You're exhausted. People die. And climbing, you know, the Everest costs a fortune. But people still do it. And I couldn't understand it until I climbed my first mountain volcano in Bali, Indonesia. And we went there at, I believe, we left home at 2 a.m. So there was like a 1.5 hour ride to the volcano area. And then we started hiking at night with flashlights and some water. And it was raining, it was windy, and it was cold. And, you know, after 2 hours, we reached the top, and then there, you know, in the next 10, 15 minutes, we saw the sunrise, and I was completely exhausted and shivering from the wind and the cold, but it was completely worth it. And, I, you know, at the top, I asked myself, why did I do this? And it's not that I want to prove something to myself, but to others, but I think it's really beautiful to see the capabilities of humans, and just to see that there's much more in life than just, you know, sitting at home and scrolling your Facebook feed. And you feel more connected to the world, and you see that it's really a beautiful place, and you shouldn't waste your time here. So I think that's why I'm really fascinated by mountains, and I would love to climb Mount Everest one day. Maybe not the very top, but at least, you know, the main base camp. So that's my aspiration for time being.
Wow. Thank you for that inspiration. So you are looking at new heights while hoping to climb the Everest, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I would love to.
And what is the best way for anyone that want to be in contact with you or connect with you?
So everyone can find me on just my website. It's like my central digital home where I publish absolutely everything, and you can find my social media accounts there. It's thomaslau.com, thomaslau.com, and I try to publish a lot of stuff on lifestyle design, my lifestyle reports, interviews with high achievers, and just a lot of actionable information on how to start a blog, how to position yourself as an expert, how to make wise personal investments, and other things.
Thomas, first of all the things that you mentioned, including the mountain site, will be on our show notes. And I really want to thank you. It was really fresh and different and great conversation. I enjoyed it so much. So thank you very much for being here.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
You're welcome, and bye-bye.
Goodbye.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.